Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
You're listening to an Anna's Owl Ministries podcast.
Rise and shine, campers, and don't forget your booties because it's cold outside today. Here in Pittsburgh, it is cold outside today, and we are going to be talking about the film Groundhog Day in celebration of the annual occurrence of Groundhog Day and the annual tradition on this podcast of talking about this movie, which is about repeating the same thing over and over again. I am joined here today by Evan and Leah. How are you guys doing? Evan, you are further south. How are things going down by where you are?
I have not been out of the hoodie for like one day, so it's not too bad.
Excellent.
And, are you in like Florida or something?
Yeah. Central Florida. So it's not too bad. It's weird. Like in the morning, it's stupid cold. Like in the 20s, but by lunchtime, it's kind of back to normal.
Yeah. We're hoping we get to the 20s by about Sunday here in Pittsburgh.
Wow.
Leah, how are you doing?
My podcast partner is in St. Pete, and
okay.
She knows I love I'm a hot weather galley, and like, I'm in North Carolina, and it's cold. It's like 20s and 30s right now. So it's cold for us anyway. And, but she likes to send me like humble brag screenshots of her, weather app, and it's like 70 or 80. And she's like, it's going to get down to 50 today. And I'm like, eh.
I try not to do that to my coworkers because my coworkers are mainly in New Jersey, and they're constantly talking about plowing snow and putting the salt out. And I'm just like, I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, because you're a nice person. Yeah. Evan. That's the difference. You're kind and you care about people.
Yeah, yeah.
But she just is just
rubbing in your face.
Merciless. Yeah. So we're fine. What about you? You were telling me it was quite the event, Andy.
Yeah, so we got over a foot of snow here, and the temperatures have been below freezing for several days in a row, and in the 10-day forecast they are not getting above freezing.
Yikes.
So that's the real challenge. You know, we know how to push snow around more or less here in the Northeast, but get, you know, what to do with wind chills below zero Fahrenheit, you know, for days on end is a bit more of a challenge. Getting the school buses started on those temperatures, mm-hmm. keeping everybody warm. That's the challenge. You know, I personally am fine, you know, that's the issue that we're dealing with regionally.
Yeah. See, I don't want a snow plow because then it says that we need a snow plow. I feel like that's, right. You know, like I don't want to set that precedence for North Carolina.
By contrast, my son is in college in Rochester. And if you drive around Rochester and the towns around that area, they use like the plow portion, the big metal shovel as like decoration. Like the entrance to all the different little suburbs are marked with a welcome sign that's either painted on or next to a snowplow.
That's awesome.
The ones in Scotland have names, and you can go to the website and like look up their names, and it's like Stuart McGreddy or whatever. Like they all have these very like silly Scottish names.
Yes, they love their wordplay in the UK. So apart from snowplow names, what are folks geeking out on these days? How about you, Evan? Go ahead, Leah.
Sorry. Go, Evan. You go on.
Sure. Wonder Man just came out, so I watched the first couple episodes of that, and that was not that I was surprised how good it was, but it's more of a humble little character piece. So I was pleasantly surprised by that.
Yeah, we watched a few episodes last night as well, and yeah, it was a lot of fun. It's kind of the studio light. If you watched and enjoyed the studio on Apple, it's kind of a Marvel Universe less formalist take on the studio.
Is that the one with Seth Rogen in the studio?
Yes.
Yeah. I think that I've been geeking out on basically being on Systematic Geekology and also a podcast with Ryan Doz about horror films that we're doing. And then also teaching. I'm teaching a class on Jesus basically in media. So I'm having to basically you guys are giving me homework of things that I have to do. So what I'm geeking out on is whatever you all have given me homework for that day. And so recently I've watched for my class, I actually rewatched The Life of Brian, Monty Python. Yeah. I hadn't seen it in a while. And I teach mostly middle-aged, mostly I would say women, African-American for the most part. And it's so interesting because to talk about Monty Python, I had forgotten so much. And I walked in I had just walked in on someone watching bad stuff on the TV. I just was like, okay, we're going to talk about this film. And it was that and Jesus Christ Superstar. Have you guys ever seen that?
I have not seen it.
No. Neither have I.
That was my first week of Jesus in film, and it also has a lot of the 70s were rough for PC. We joke about cancel culture, but some of it needed to be canceled back then.
they were finding the lines from both sides.
Some of the racial stuff and the gender stuff and the, oh gosh, it just made me cringe. I was like, I know I have to teach this, but I don't even want to talk about it. So in summary, I've been geeking out on what I have to watch, and some of it is very cringeworthy, unfortunately.
All righty. Well, since you mentioned your homework for the Systematic Geekology podcast, sounds like a good time to take care of our business for the podcast. Remind folks that they can rate and review us, subscribe, all those good things, wherever you find your podcast. If you can give us a rating or a review, that always helps with people trying to find new content. And we want to thank the folks who provide us financial support. In particular, we'll shout out Aaron Hardy this time. Thank you, Aaron, for your financial contributions. And thank you, everybody else. If you want your name in the list of people who get shouted out from time to time, you can go ahead and find the link in our description of the podcast, of the show, to sign up, to become an official member, to provide a small monetary contribution on an ongoing basis. Or if you just like to provide a one-time gift or buy some merch, you can do those things as well. But the ongoing contributions are what get you those thanks and access to the members-only part of the Discord. Or I will remind folks, even though this is not a comic book episode, if you go to the members-only and suggest comic books we can talk about on a comic book catch-up episode in the future. That way I don't have to remember to look for that right before we record one of those episodes. And just generally, come and tell us about what you're reading. So yeah, that's the Systematic Geology spiel. And now let's get into something else that's repetitive and done over and over again, the movie Groundhog Day. So this is the Bill Murray vehicle directed by Harold Ramis about a weatherman from Pittsburgh who travels to Punxsutawney for the annual groundhog prognostication. Is there going to be 6 more weeks of winter or an early spring based on the presence or absence of a shadow? And he winds up, for reasons unexplained, he winds up repeating the same day, Groundhog Day, over and over and over again, having to redo the same reporting from the hill, from the knob there, about the groundhog, having to interact with all the locals, and so on and so forth. Eventually, does he break out of that cycle, or is he stuck reliving Groundhog Day forever? I guess we'll probably wind up spoiling that. You've probably seen the movie by now if you're listening to this podcast. That's the arc of the film. This is my first time reviewing this movie on this podcast. How about you guys? What's your background with this movie? What do you think of the movie? I hope you have something that you like about it or like to talk about it to bring you here.
I have nothing to say.
Excellent.
What if I just sat here and just repeated the same phrase over and over? I have nothing to say. And then I was like, aha, it was meta. We're in
Groundhog Day. That would be an excellent formalist
that
experiment.
That would work, yes. Yes.
I think I saw it. It's an 80s film, right?
From I want to say early 90s.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Yeah, yeah. I think I saw it in the midst of my parents were really obsessed with like SNL and always had been. And so I think there was this like late 80s, early 90s thing where like it was like Caddyshack and this film. And then you were starting to get the Sandler films and stuff like that, where it was just sort of a lot of these SNL folks doing films. And I saw it way back when. And then I think I've consequently saw it a million times since then, maybe just like a rough number there. But yeah, I think because it's on back when we all had cable, remember those days, it would come on the television quite a lot. And it was one of those films that you had to watch because he's so funny in it. And every time I hear I've Got You, Babe, that's all I think of. Well.
How about you, Evan?
Yeah, for me, the astute listeners of this show will think that they're in a version of for Groundhog Day because last year I recorded about this a movie with one of the guys also from the show. So and that was my first time actually watching it. It's been in my lore since I was a kid, but I finally watched it last year, and for sure, it's one of those films that kind of stuck in my memory. So I am glad to talk about it again now.
Excellent. Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure I saw it when it came out in the theaters, and likewise many times since. I don't know if it's ironic or appropriate that for a movie that, you know, repeats the same sequences over and over again, it's a very rewatchable film. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's because that's baked into the premise. It has to be. But yeah, you know, I was a Bill Murray fan from Ghostbusters. You know, I grew up on was a kid of the 80s. So things like Ghostbusters were part of my childhood. And so, you know, got introduced to Bill Murray that way and, you know, followed him into films like Groundhog Day and What About Bob and other things. Kind of there was that. It seemed like that was sort of the peak Bill Murray era, where he could get a movie made just based on his name, The Man Who Knew Too Little, all these kinds of things. That might have been the beginning of the end for Bill Murray can open a box office weekend.
Zombieland.
Sure. Yes. He's obviously continued to show up in memorable films, but I think that might have been the downslope of we can just make a movie on the strength of Bill Murray's name.
100.
Lost in Translation, Zombieland, he's had some memorable appearances.
The one that was with the zombie movie with Adam Driver recently, I forgot the name of that film, but that was great.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and it you know, kind of launched this idea, which we've seen a lot of lately, almost as if people who grew up watching Groundhog Day now, some 30-odd years later, are the ones making movies and are revisiting the concept of a time loop. But maybe we can come back to that after we talk about those other films, after we talk about this one. So let's see, what maybe to kind of get things rolling with some lighter things, what are some of your favorite kind of loops of the film? What favorite antics that Bill Murray gets up to in the process of figuring out what this is all about?
I just always love when Stephen Tobolowsky shows up in anything. So when he shows up over and over, I love it. And that's a fun way for him to realize what's going on and stuff like that. But he always makes a film or TV show that much more enjoyable.
I like his waking up sequence because I think it is funny. And again, it does set you up to know that he's on the same day again. But I really like his increasing hatred of Punxsutawney Phil. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to be there to start with. But then it's just as the days go on, his sort of feelings towards that groundhog, I don't know. It's just such slap.
Oh, guys, I really hate to interrupt, but my name's TJ, and I'm here to tell you about our new merch. We have incredible new stuff with Fourth Wall. We have just partnered with them as a new store. They have a lot more to offer, which means we have a lot more to offer. We can now offer you beautiful Comfort Colors t-shirts. They're so comfy. I wear mine all the time. And we've got it all now. Cups, hats, backpacks, pajamas. If you want your Systematic Geekology pajamas, you know where to go. My personal favorite is actually our Throne of Geeks shirt. It is Comfort Colors, you know, blue, black, green, red, orange. And the shirts are just so nice. And the shirt itself, we've got the Throne of Iron geeked out. Because, you know, that's our brand. We've got Mjolnir on there, the Buster Sword, Trident. Basically just the coolest weapons from our favorite properties are on the shirt instead of a bunch of normal boring swords from the boring series Game of Thrones. So check that out, and thank you.
Stick comedy, how much he hates that rodent.
Yeah, I think for me, my favorite sequence is the where he's trying to woo the other woman, not Annie McDowell's character, his producer from the TV studio, but the local woman. And so he's, you know, memorizing what she likes, what her drink order, you know, her favorite childhood memories and things, so that each time he can get progressively further along in having, you know, sort of her perfect date. And it, you know, just well done, because you restart each time kind of a little bit further along. So it very efficiently communicates what he's doing without really kind of hit you over the head of it. And then, you know, there's also a great moment where it turns, right? And he just really can't get any further in getting to know her or figuring out what she likes. And then it kind of reverses and collapses in on itself. And you go through the backwards through progressively less long dates, you know, where he fails further and further, or gets slapped and gets rejected earlier and earlier in the evening. And it's just such a, you know, a great bit of cinematic storytelling, that the way that it's structured and edited and tells you a lot about what's going on, and just through the music and the way that it's all put together.
Yeah, and I love the idea that he thinks that memorizing every single thing that someone likes would make, and then them assuming they're meeting them for the first time, that he thinks that will get him farther. Like, can you imagine going on a date and someone being like, well, I ordered you red wine and here's a cat, and I got you a theology book, but my name is so-and-so. I would be like, okay, you're crazy and a stalker. And, you know, but I love in his brain, he's like, this is it. This is how you get to someone.
Yeah. The inauthenticity of it eventually undermines him. But yeah, I mean, you know, he's trying to figure out, well, what can I do? Right. This is an opportunity that's afforded me in a way that, I don't normally get in life. And it's essentially the video game approach, right? I tried this last time, so I'll try something else this time and something else this time until I figure out the exact sequence and moves that you need to do to get across all the trap doors or whatever, right?
Right.
Not watch the global news and try to warn people of impending doom. Just, I'm going to go on this date with this girl and memorize, which, I mean.
Right. But is there impending doom, right? If the day keeps repeating.
I mean, I feel like he does. It's a great question. And I mean, I think in theory, no. But like, he does seem to live in the hope that one day it will reset. And if you, you know, because he does look angered every time he wakes up. There's some resignation by the like middle to end. But like, he's still upset. So there, if you're upset, there's clearly some expectation that this will not be the reality. Otherwise, you'd just be like, meh, okay.
Do you think that's hope, or do you think that's him going through the stages of the, you know, the classic stages of grief?
Insanity.
And denying.
Or insanity, yeah, that's right. That's a great question. No. I think he's not a very hopeful guy. So I maybe am attributing too much to his character by saying hope. I think you're right. I think it's maybe acceptance that this is now. Cause I'm not sure like hope is, what's his character's name? That's funny. I've seen it so much. I forgot, but
it's Phil Connors, right?
His name's Phil too. Is perfect. You're right. I think it's probably just acceptance.
The radio, the clock radio, and the radio station going off every time, and the same thing, and the progressive annoyance with that is classic to me.
Yeah. Also, I feel like Andy McDowell was in all of these films, true, and she always had to deal with these men who were just the worst. Like, if you look at Andy McDowell's IMDb, and I have not, so this is, I am presenting an assumption, but I just remember her being in these films where she's just dealing with all of these dudes who just don't know how to act. And bless her, because she just, she always comes out as a character you're rooting for, despite all of that.
80s.
You know, there.
I know, right? 80s.
Right. There's probably some of that that is Andy McDowell projects competence, and there's some amount of, you know, men are allowed to be, you know, useless, and women have to be dependable and competent and fix them.
Right. Her and the yes, her and the woman from National Lampoon. I don't know that actress's name, but that's always the wife, basically, in National Lampoon. Them two are doing the Lord's work.
They are definitely the neck of the husband's head.
Right. And I just, that's another thing I want to see is that Chevy Chase documentary. And I feel like that's going to ruin that film series for me, sadly.
That's right.
So then is it Phil's arc or is it what's her name in the film? Now, it is funny how you watch it enough that all these characters' names have fallen by the wayside. But yeah, I suppose that's a question too. Is it that he finally comes to some sort of revelation, or is it that she's able to finally get through to him as how he is able to break out of the cycle?
I feel like they're presenting the story as, I mean, this is my interpretation, as a love, it is sort of a love story, and they're presenting this person who is so unhopeful, so sort of cantankerous. And the idea is, instead of he tries with this one woman and fails, as we spoke about. And so the universe, if you will, is giving him this chance to figure out how to really break out of himself. It's just, he just presents inherently selfish. Like, it's me, me, me. It's very egotistical. It's very, you know, and I think it's teaching him by reliving these days how to care about someone at a genuine level. And so I do think that that is the story, and what they're trying to come. I mean, the comedy, but the funny part is I think when we talk about this, that's not necessarily what people say. You know, we talk about the bits that we like, and it's not, oh, well, he gets his anti-hero arc or whatever. Like, it's, oh, but he really wants to punch that groundhog, you know? So I'm not sure that came across as much as the comedy, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I suppose there's a reading of the film, which is a man will do anything to avoid going to therapy. He literally tries every other possibility than dealing with his issues before finally confronting his own inner issues. I suppose there's a reading of the film, which is, you know, the universe conspires to make this man finally worthy of Andy McDowell's affection.
Finally. Mm.
I was reading last night, there are theories that it's actually Ned Ryerson, the Stephen Tobias character, that is caught in the time loop, and Phil Connors just kind of gets dragged along.
I read that too, yeah.
And that, you know, that he's the reason why he knows everything about Phil, and indicates that they have a shared history, but Phil doesn't seem to remember or acknowledge any of that, is because Ned is doing the same thing to him. He's just gone through and gotten facts out of him to be able to construct this backstory, all for the purpose of finally selling him some insurance.
Yeah.
Well, again, how egotistical to think that you're the only one that gets to relive your day.
Right.
Like,
true.
The universe only cares about Phil from Pittsburgh or whatever. Like, so therefore he gets these endless chances to not be a jerk. I mean, great. Good for him, I guess. But like,
yeah, it is. It is the metaphysics of it all. Why is this happening? How does this come to happen? How is it that he's the one that this is happening to are all left unanswered. And maybe that's to the film's benefit because it gives so many different ways of reading it and thinking about it and talking about it. But yeah, it does certainly raise the question of why doesn't anybody else get this treatment, or why doesn't anybody else get the benefit of, you know, that Annie McDowell did, of having a person in their life be improved for them or on, you know, on their behalf.
Point.
She just put in all the work. She got her karma level up really high from all the previous films she did with these guys. So this one she gets a better Bill Murray.
There you go.
In this one. Yeah, I mean, that's right. But I think what it does by not examining the metaphysics, as you put it, is that it leaves it a little surface in that way. Like, I mean, we care, of course, about their relationship-ish, but then, like, I don't watch it for that. I watch it for the comedy. So it's like, if it's like, that's what draws you in. So I think it changes the way the film is when you don't give that backstory. Mm-hmm. So the idea they kind of try to make it serious and that this is really about him improving is sort of, I feel like, lost in the grand scheme of the film. Cause it's like, you know, that's fine. I feel like I just think that's fine by the end. I'm like, good for you.
Yeah. The universe has gone to an awful lot of effort for two people that in other films don't amount to a hill of beans.
That's right. But apparently it's a trope that's been, I don't have a previous one that I can think of where you get to relive days, but apparently my husband, who is the real nerd in the family, said to mention, there's a movie where a soldier gets to relive a day or something. The Edge of.
Yes. The,
oh yeah.
The Edge of Tomorrow.
The Tom Cruise one.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise. Yeah. Right, he was like, tell him that you knew that one. And I was like, well, first of all, I call you guys the geeks and I'm like, I can't out geek the geeks. So I'm not going to come in and be like, I've seen this Tom Cruise film.
Yeah. That is even more in the video game.
Literally almost.
You know, so, yeah, because he's having to fight off this alien invasion of Earth or alien infestation of Earth, perhaps. And yeah, so he's literally like, okay, I have to take two steps, shoot this way, duck, move to my right, shoot that way, right? And just memorizing this pattern of moves exactly the same way you would do for a video game that has a deterministic, you know, sequence of enemy routes or what have you. But yeah, that was kind of the first, at least mainstream or you know, big budget return to this kind of time loop idea, of which there have been a number of movies since.
He's trying to replace me. Don't let him do it.
Okay.
He's a white guy. I don't know that you guys have enough white guys on your team.
Well, the great thing about the audio podcast, on the videos, people can tell that. But the great thing about the audio podcast is you don't necessarily know that. You can probably figure it out. Know.
My name is Princess Leah on the Rocks. No, that's fair. I think it's a trope where that, you know, that we, I know I've derailed a little bit, but it's this idea of being able to repeat. I find it kind of comforting in a way, like not forever, of course, but this idea that you maybe have a day that, I mean, I have anxiety. So like, this is like daily life for me, but we all have days where we replay them in our minds and think like, oh gosh, if I'd only been able to do X, Y, and Z, it would have turned out much differently. And so it's kind of a nice thought that we could pick it, you know, like pick which day,
right.
Like Phil would definitely not have picked this, this day, I think, maybe by the end, but I don't think it initially. He's fairly miserable in this assignment, so I don't think that he would have picked this particular day. But I do think there's something nice about that, yeah.
Yeah, so is there a day that you would pick?
For me?
Yes.
Yeah, there's several
that you would want to change the outcome, or why would you want to, like...
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think change the outcome. Those are the ones that stick in my head. Or I said... You know, we all have those things where I'm like, why did I say that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I get those less now that I don't care as much about, I think it's teaching for like 16 years. I'm like, eh, I'm here, whatever. But yeah, there's certainly days where the outcome I would like to, or that something catastrophic happens in the world, you know, that you could, you feel like maybe you could
probably move that rock and kind of solve it.
Yeah. But then that there, that becomes the question that we see in a lot of films, which is this idea that, you know, save the cheerleader, save the world situation is like, can we actually change the outcome? It's, you know, Final Destination, actually, to mix my metaphors here, is like, can you change it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, podcast fam. Want to stay even more connected with the show? We've got you covered. Check us out on Instagram and Blue Sky, where we're posting exclusive content and bonus videos and fun updates that you won't get anywhere else. From sneak previews of upcoming episodes to bonus content, our social accounts are the best way to keep the conversation going. Plus, it's a great spot for you to interact with other listeners and share your thoughts. We love hearing from you. When you follow us, it helps us grow and continue bringing you the content that you love. Whether it's a funny poll, a quick clip from today's episodes, or just random thoughts, you'll feel more plugged into everything we're doing. So go ahead and hit that follow button on Instagram and Blue Sky. It's one more way to be a part of the show and keep the good vibes flowing. Thanks for being a part of the family, and we can't wait to see you there.
Will it just end up that way anyway?
Right. Or what, you know, what other consequences will there be?
Right. Right. Like, can you go, and if you mess with one thing, like, let's say I prevent, you know, 9/11 from happening or whatever, fill in the blank, but I go and I do that, then what else happens? Or can I? Because what am I going to do? Go to an airport and start screaming at people not to get on a plane? Cool. That'll probably work out well. I mean, you know,
right.
Like I'd really have to hone those skills. I would need a Bill Murray style situation where it was like, because you initially just are reactionary, I think, but then maybe you learn.
True.
You learn what to do. But I don't know. He was able to change. Well, that's a question, actually. Did he change his ending, or was that always going to be the ending?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, and that, you know, that kind of gets me back. It's an angle I hadn't thought about the movie before, but
yeah.
The idea that that she was always going to be interested in him, right? That part of the ending was fixed, and that this is a process of making him worthy of that, because it was a fixed endpoint, is a different way of looking at it, as opposed to that. Yeah, that he went through, that he had some other different, you know, outcome that he has avoided by going through this process.
Right. Yeah. I'm not. I think that's a sort of, as you use a phrase, that's more of a metaphysical question that we can't, I mean, with, at least within the constraints of this movie, we can't really answer. I think, but I do ponder that sometimes in my anxiety brain when I'm like, oh, like you could have done X, Y, and Z. And then I'm like, nope, it would have all ended up the same anyway. So I have to think that. It
depends who's the anchor being. So.
Yeah.
It's a Marvel joke.
Right.
Right.
Well, no, but they have it. Lost has that. It's the constant.
Sure. Right. Sure. It's, yeah.
That's right. Lost, you know, Faraday is the constant. And so, again, people who haven't watched will be like, what is she talking about? This is basically me yelling at people to not get on a plane right now. But in many series where you see this sort of time switch, there's always someone who's like, actually, no, Faraday talks about the constant. He's not the constant. But anyway,
yeah.
You have to have some point that's stable, I think.
Right. Which is an interesting dimension of the movie Palm Springs, which is another one of these recent time loop movies, because without giving too much away, one of its innovations is that there are multiple people experiencing the same day repeating over and over again.
I got to check that out, yeah.
For different reasons, or and with their own agendas and their own perspectives on the experience. So yeah, it adds something that I think you've kind of pointed out is maybe missing from Groundhog Day or underdeveloped in Groundhog Day, which is why is it all about this one man and centered on his experience. And so yeah, Palm Springs kind of opens that up a bit. Edge of Tomorrow kind of does in the sense that Emily Blunt's character had previously gone through that experience. But at any given time, there's only one person, and in the events of the film proper, it's just Tom Cruise
Well, and introducing the fact that y'all, or the theory, sorry, not fact, that one of the other characters maybe is also has also experienced this or is experiencing it. Mm-hmm. But the idea that Bill Murray is so self-obsessed that he doesn't think to, I don't know, like talk to other people or chat about it. Or I guess he does to Andy McDowell.
Right. He does break down eventually.
Eventually. Yeah. I mean, because you, what do you have to lose at that stage? Because his thought is she'll just reset tomorrow and she won't know about it. So right. I wonder if it could make you, like in this story, it makes you like a good person. But I wonder too if like it could make you a terrible person. Like
it could make you super jaded. Yeah.
Well, but also you could just, there's no consequences to things, right? So all the stuff that you maybe wanted to do that you know that you won't get like put in jail for or fill in the blank, but you could do it. And then the next day you're just going to be like, you're just reset. So it doesn't matter.
I will point you once again to the film Palm Springs.
Oh, but can they change the outcome in Palm Springs? Like, are they able to shift it?
I don't want to give too much away. Neither of you have seen it, it's one of those films that I think is best appreciated as its own experience.
Fair enough.
But
I accept. But yeah, I mean, because I think my first thoughts go to philanthropy, but considering how long you're looping, at some stage I might just go, you know, rob a wine store or something. I don't know.
Bill Murray tries that too a bit, right? He engages in some crime, if I remember correctly, before he starts just going straight, you know, suicidal.
Yeah. I don't think I would go that route, but I would definitely start like playing the stock market and doing some. But the problem is you don't have enough time to really enjoy it. You kind of have to go really like in the moment. Like you can't, this isn't like a long, you can't be like, I invented the TV or something, because like the next day no one will remember. So it's, you kind of have to do something in the moment. I might just eat like all the tacos and margaritas I could eat. And again, I like that all of mine's, you can tell I'm hungry. All of mine's food related and drink related, but like you could just do all those things. Cause you're like, my cholesterol is gone tomorrow. It'll be back to the same. So it's fine. Mm-hmm. Break into Brad Pitt's house. Wow.
Brad Pitt's house.
I'm not even drinking and y'all are getting me. This is my brain. Just poke around in there. What would you do? What would you do if you're past the initial like thing of surprise? You're not quite to like the reflective, I'm a better person phase, but if you're in that middle phase, like what would you do if there was no consequences?
I would do probably to kind of go back to what Andy and I were kind of talking before the show, I would see how many times I could ride a theme park ride. Like I would do Tower Terror at Disney and be like, does that also reset? So can I do the, can I break some sort of record with that or something? And yeah, experience it in every permutation possible, and I kind of check off my OCD that I've always wanted to do.
I love that you're thinking I'm like breaking into Brad Pitt's house and Evan's writing Tower of Terror 5,000 times.
Yeah. Trying to get those creepy ghosts that are super rare and they are randomized in the ride. I've only gotten it once. Yeah.
I've never been on it. What about you, Andy? What are you going to do in that middle bit?
Yeah, I'm thinking about that because, you know, certainly, you know, the appeal of getting to eat whatever has a certain allure as I'm getting into that stage of life where I have to think a lot real hard about, is this worth it? Is this is this what I want to do with my life? Yeah, I don't know.
Credit cards reset, so you could go to like the nicest restaurant ever. Except imagine you spent all the money. You're like New York City's like Michelin star, and then it's a new day the next day.
I think that would be. I think that would be part of my concern. Is what could I do that if it didn't reset tomorrow wouldn't be so disastrous. Maybe I wouldn't break into Brad Pitt's house, but I could see, you know, like trying trying to meet different people, or like that thing of, you know, it doesn't happen if you don't ask, just like trying to explore different opportunities or different possibilities, meeting different famous people or what have you, just to see so what you could get, you know, maybe, you know, how far you could push those opportunities.
It's a benevolent break-in. I'm not going to like punch him or anything.
Oh, yeah, I understand. I'm not sure that I have the skill set for even a benevolent break-in.
You can learn it. You got time.
Well,
you just asked the guard.
Save those thoughts for our bonus question.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and with that, maybe, you know, looking at the time and thinking about the fact that there will be future opportunities to discuss this movie if we carry on this tradition, maybe it's a good time to start winding down our time loop. If you have any final thoughts you want to say about the movie or any other time loop or timey-wimey media that you want to recommend to folks.
When I was watching it, for some reason, it's not a one-to-one correlation. Like the premise is kind of different, but I thought about the film from the 2010s, I think, called Primer. It's a time travel film like that, kind of, and it gets real stuck in the weeds with the different permutations of things and how to get out of it and stuff. And I thought about that. Also, I'm very surprised that there's not been a sequel to this film yet. I'm surprised that his son, Harold Ramis' son, hasn't made one yet. Just because, you know, it kind of makes sense for them to do it, but I don't know.
I want to see a Groundhog Day sequel starring Margaret Qualley time looping.
On Labor Day. It has to be a real, like, mundane holiday. Yeah, I mean, it came to my head. I think Lost is probably one of the, a lot of people think it's about certain things, but at the end of the day, I think it really is about time and what, like the what ifs, you know, and so they get a lot of time movement and get to see what if this hadn't happened or what if this happened. So in their reality, things do change. And so, you know, you can change the outcomes of certain things. And so, or at least they shift, and there's lots of, you know, moral dilemmas, which is if we do shift things, is it better? And do we know what better is? And, you know, this whole thing of they're on the island and like their plane crashed, what happened if the plane doesn't crash? And there's this really famous scene, Jack, who's one of the pivotal characters, is yelling at all of them because they're in this time world, their plane didn't crash. They made it to New York or wherever they were going. And he screams and he says, we have to go back to the island. And it's one of these things of like, you know, is what we think will happen if we get a second chance, is that going to make anything better? You know, and I think that's one of those, you don't really get that question in Groundhog Day, but I think in a lot of these time series, you know, you do get to, because that Doctor Who, he makes a real point to say you can't change things, right?
He's more of an observer.
Yeah. Even though he's actively changing things.
Yeah. For the positive, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, right. It's just funny because he's like, he always tells his companions, he's like, we can't touch that because, you know, it'll change things. And then meanwhile, he's like blowing stuff up and like, you know, fighting monsters and whatever. And it's like, well, okay, but you're doing it, you know.
Do as I say. He knows the outcome. Not as I do.
Right. I'm sure there's some doctors.
He's a doctor, so yeah.
He's a doctor. I'm also a doctor. That's right. That's right. I don't get to change stuff. And they say, you'll go to jail. There's consequences. I don't have a phone booth is maybe the issue.
Maybe. Well, I've already plugged Palm Springs, so I also throw out there is a very fun time loop episode of the CW show Legends of Tomorrow, part of the Flash Arrowverse shows. I don't know how well it works just as its own standalone thing if you're not already following the characters and the stories, but go ahead and do that. Watch the show. I think you can start in season 3. I think my recommendation is generally that you can just start with season 3 and it's good from that point forward. The first couple seasons, it was still trying to figure out things. Not that it's bad, but if you want a place to jump in that isn't the whole entire show. Or you can just try the time loop episode and see if it's absolute nonsense. But that's my recommendation. So as we wrap things up, we want to, again, thank you for your time and listening to us discuss the movie Groundhog Day. And you can look forward to coming back in a year for more of the same. And in the meantime, please feel free to rate, review, or otherwise recommend the podcast to folks. Also tell a friend. You don't even have to just do it digitally. You can use your actual human mouth parts to say to another human being, hey, this is a good podcast. You should listen to it. You can
again, listen to Sunny and Cher.
There you go. You can be a financial supporter like Justin Vaughn and contribute to the podcast and become a member. Look for the description of the show. There's a link there to the site where you can get all that set up, where you can find merch and all those good things. And you will have access to bonus questions like the one we're going to record after this episode on what special skill would you want to develop or hobby would you want to pursue if you had the unlimited time of a Groundhog Day time loop. So our host can think about their answer to that question. You, the listener, can think about whether knowing the answer to that question is worth a few dollars a month. And the answers to other questions like it. And that will wrap up this version of Groundhog Day. Hopefully all of you will get to wake up in your beds tomorrow and not having to repeat this exact conversation again. And until next time, remember, if you're going to geek, do it systematically.
Hey guys, Christian here. Have you ever wondered how you can support Systematic Ecology? Well, we've made it a lot easier for you by going to Fourth Wall. Instead of what we've done in the past, Fourth Wall makes everything very easy for everyone involved. Everything is in the same spot. So if you want to find a way to become a member and get access to our exclusive memberships and all the giveaways that we're going to be doing, Fourth Wall is the way to go. As well, if you want to see all the extra episodes and content that we only put to our members, that's the best way to go. Feel free to rate and review us there. You can also leave a donation or tip if that's something you're interested in. And as well, you can help support our All Reading Counts initiative that we do. All the donations that go to that go to our libraries. You also, if you really want to, it's like, man, I really want to hear more episodes about Christian for some reason. Or even, for even reasons I don't understand, you want to hear Joshua more often. We have episodes listed by host, and you can see everyone there. If you have a favorite host, head that way and support the episodes that they're on. You also find a link to our YouTube page. And we may be adding some special content beyond what we've promised. Everything that was once in multiple different locations and you didn't know where to go, well, it's all in that one convenient place. If you want to know exactly where to go, the link to this will be in the description below.
Hi, friends. It's Laura here. And I just wanted to say thank you for listening to our show. Systematic Ecology is a part of a larger podcast network called the Anazal Podcast Network. Dummy for Theology is Joshua Noel's show discussing different theological topics from various perspectives and attempting to give people more questions than answers. My Seminary Life is Brandon Knight's show. It started as him going through what he was learning in seminary, and after he graduated, he's been doing independent studies and has a lot of fun series like on hermeneutics, Bonhoeffer Summer, and worship. And then Friday Night Frights is a monthly show with Christian Ashley and Joe Day. They have a vote on the Systematic Ecology Facebook group to choose a topic each month and discuss everything from cryptos to ghosts to aliens to serial killers and more. So we hope you'll give it a listen, and thanks for being part of what we're putting out there.